turn to your text first, and we'll take all this up with the Lord in prayer at the same time. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14 through 29 was our text today for Sunday school. So some of you have already been through this portion of Scripture with me, but there was something really, really great here in verse 16 we couldn't just pass over too quickly. There's more to be explored in this verse, and so it becomes our subject for the morning preaching. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." He that believeth shall not make haste. You know who he's talking about here? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And we know that from the New Testament. This text comes up again and again concerning the stone. And today what we would like to do is exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, our sure foundation. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to bow before your throne because, Father, we need your help. And these folks have come today hungry. They want to be edified and strengthened by the words of God. There are here today, Father, undoubtedly people that don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And today, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will allow us to open the text in such a way, Lord, that Jesus Christ will be exalted and they'll understand that he is the Savior and that they can trust him today. Father, we pray for Bill Bailey at the First Baptist Church in Chehalis, Washington. We ask you, Lord, to continue to give him strength and wisdom to pastor that church and good families in the church, Father, that will be supportive of the work, supportive of the missionaries, vocal in their testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ so that others may be saved. Father, we pray for Orville today that you really help him. Lord, with this back problem, it hasn't gotten better. Some procedure may need to be done here, Lord, but to give him relief there. And I pray, Father, that you'll really help him. Also pray for Todd and for the Kluge family. Lord, they're really, really needing you, as they have every day. We all do, but they really need you for comfort and for wisdom and for protection and for strength and for grace and provision. Father, I pray you'll surely take care of that family and take care particularly of Todd as he really is just preparing to depart this earth and be with you. Lord, may his soul be rested totally and absolutely in Jesus Christ, and may his suffering be minimized by your grace. For we ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're reading through this text this morning, and we were studying all of this text that surrounds this verse of Scripture. Basically, what you have is a people that really would not trust God's truth and would not trust God. And there are some statements made in this passage of Scripture here that's the context of the verse we're looking at about men making an agreement with hell and a covenant with death, knowing that these things are coming. They have surrounded themselves with lies and falsehood, and the Lord says, listen, forget all of that nonsense, forget your agreement, forget your covenant, forget your lies, forget your falsehood. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Well, you know something? We're going to examine this text this morning, look at this, but you know what you're looking at here? You are looking at the answer to every coming problem this world has ever had. That's Jesus Christ. Any scourge that comes your way, any overflowing that comes your way, any consumption that comes your way, Jesus Christ is the sure foundation. And today we want to examine the text and see, first of all, that when he lays that stone in Zion, it is a foundation stone. He is a foundation stone. In other words, you can build upon him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, "Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Have you noticed how the world has been after him? How in the world did we really come up with a constitutional interpretation in this country that says it's not right to teach about Jesus Christ in a school, and it's not right to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in a school? How could you come up with that unless there is an undercurrent to take away confidence in Jesus Christ and to put that confidence in lies and falsehood? But I'm going to tell you something, no matter what attempts have been made by churches, by people, by governments, whomever it may be, Jesus Christ is the foundation stone that God laid in Zion. And you want to build something sure, we're talking about a sure foundation. You want to build something strong, you want to establish your life on something that will last, establish your life on Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something about a foundation stone. A foundation stone, there's one under this building. You don't really ever get to see a foundation stone. Maybe you'll see a piece of it from the side. If you look at a brick veneer on a building and you look in the flower bed, there may be a little bit of the foundation there. But there's nothing really all that beautiful about a foundation stone. It doesn't have to be. It all gets covered up. It gets built upon. You know, when Jesus Christ came here in His ministry, the Bible says He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. You know, when this foundation was poured, it rained. When that foundation over there was poured, it rained. And when they had to do some work, there's some little things like this and little ripples and deals like that. You look at that, you know what? It doesn't make a bit of difference to you today. You don't see it. But I'm going to tell you something. The foundation under this building and the foundation under that building, those are strong. They're sure. And they have to be sure. This soil that's here is very plastic. That's a term that engineers use to talk about it swelling and shrinking with moisture. When it rains, it swells like a sponge. When it dries out, it shrinks like a sponge. And if you put a regular foundation on this type of soil and build upon it, you're going to get breaks in the foundation and you're going to get cracks in the wall. That's the way it goes. So what we've done here is we have engineered a foundation that is drilled down with piers all over the place on this one, all over the place on that one. The piers have footers on them. There's all kinds of steel and everything. And these foundations don't sit on the soil. These foundations are sitting on those piers. The soil is underneath with an airspace between. And as the soil goes up and down like this, it doesn't move the foundation at all. You know why? Because we didn't want a building that would crack and fall down. It is a sure foundation. When Jesus Christ first came, He wasn't trying to get up a great big following of people by some kind of a fancy act. You know what He was doing? He was establishing a foundation upon which people could build. When Peter was asked and the other disciples were asked by the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, "Whom do men say that I am?" They said, "Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets." "Whom do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus Christ said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock," that is the testimony you just gave, "I will build my church." Oh, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He said, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, it seemed like every church goes through a series of problems when the devil gets involved. But I'm going to tell you something. The gates of hell did not prevail against the Lord Jesus Christ. He spent 3 nights and 3 days down there, and He came out of that thing with the keys. Listen, if you're not sure about where you're going to spend your eternity, I can tell you from the Scripture for sure, if you don't have Christ in your foundation, you're going to spend that eternity in hell after you die. But if you will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and build your life on that foundation, when that time comes to die, you'll smile and say, "Here I come, Lord." There'll be no doubt, no fear, no concern, because your foundation is in a man who has already beat hell and has the keys. Listen, this Lord Jesus Christ is a sure foundation. A foundation stone. A foundation stone. You know, we've been just talking the other day, Randy and I were visiting about fishers of men and some of the soul winning that's been going on. Some of you that have been talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's not a rock band here. Did you notice that? Can you imagine Bobby on the drums? No strobe lights in the ceiling. No pom-pom girls. No flashbang, no changing pictures. All very traditional to say, why is that? This is the reason why. You're hearing preached today the same stuff that Paul was preaching nearly 2,000 years ago. Amen. And you know why? The foundation of Jesus Christ does not require all of that pretty. All that pretty, when that becomes the foundation of your faith, the moment it is destroyed, so is your faith. but on Jesus Christ, your foundation stone, it's going to stand the test of time. Jesus Christ described a situation in the New Testament. He said, now listen, you guys that hear what I'm saying and do what I'm saying, he said, you're like guys that built your house on a stone. When the winds come and the waves come and crash against that house, it stands. But those of you who will listen to what I'm saying and you won't do what I'm saying, you're like a guy that builds his foundation on a sand. And the winds come and the waves come and bang, that thing gets destroyed. Don't you want your faith to stand in something permanent? Then build that faith on Jesus Christ, because He's the foundation stone. But that's not all. That's not all. This verse here goes on to say, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. Not only that, but a tried stone. A tried stone. You know, when I think about the way we're developing this little passage of Scripture, it's like we're seeing the stone in various times of His life or in various times of His ministry. He is the foundation stone, but then during the laying of that foundation, that stone was tried. You know, when this foundation was poured in this building, same with that one over there, you may or may not know how this process goes. There's an engineer on site, and every load of concrete that comes in is put in a sump. And they check it to see how much it's shrinking, and then they take it over and they do various tests on the concrete to make sure that it is as strong as the architect and the structural engineer said that it needs to be. So if it needs to have 3,500 pounds of per square inch of capacity, then they check to make sure that it's at least that strong. And they test it. They try it. They keep squeezing on it until they can break it and see where the breaking point is. May I tell you something? They subjected Jesus Christ to a trial and they never did find His breaking point. He is a tried stone. In this passage of Scripture that we studied this morning in Sunday school, there was the mention of an overflowing scourge, the Bible says, that's coming. It's all about the coming tribulation, a consumption that happens during that period of time as God takes out His remnant of Israel and gets ready to make them the greatest nation in the world as Jesus Christ comes to take the throne of David and rule from Jerusalem. All right? And it talks about this overflowing scourge coming in. Well, a scourge is what they used to try Jesus Christ. Remember that? They whipped Him and scourged Him. And you know what they found? After the scourging, Pilate came out to those that accused him and said, I find no fault in this man at all. Boy, when they tried him, they could not find him guilty. Like you heard the other day when we preached about that thief on the cross that got saved. He looked over there at the other thief. He said, what are you doing, man? Quit reviling him. He's not guilty. The centurion saw when he died and said, surely this must be the Son of God. Let me tell you something. They put him behind a stone, didn't they? Didn't they put him in a cave, in a grave, and roll a stone across that thing and seal that so the disciples couldn't come and steal that body? Didn't they do that? And may I tell you something? They got down there, that stone was rolled away, and that body wasn't in that grave. He's a tried stone. The devil tried to hold him, couldn't do it. Devil tried to defeat him, couldn't do it. Death tried to hold him, couldn't do it. Let me tell you something. Your three worst enemies that you have to face, death and hell and the devil, even sin, your fourth enemy, he's beat all that. The Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let me tell you something. You get Jesus Christ on the inside and you start doing battle with sin that's been plaguing you in your life, you can get victory. Why? Because He already lived inside of a body. He's already been tried and sin didn't get Him the first time. And if you'll yield to Him, sin won't get Him the second time either. He's a tried stone. But that's not all. He's a foundation stone. He's a tried stone. And you know what else the Bible says? He is a precious stone. Look at that thing right there in our text. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone. A precious cornerstone, he says. A precious stone. Now, I listen to that and I think, wow, that is a beautiful, beautiful passage. Why? Because you take down there in the depths of this earth carbon deposits and subject them to heat and subject them to pressure and subject them to time, and what do you get? You get a diamond. The Lord Jesus Christ came in here as a foundation stone upon which we can build. He's been subjected to all that trial, and what did He come forth? A precious stone. Doesn't it just irk you when somebody takes the name of our Lord God in vain? Doesn't it just irk you when somebody is an expletive, says the precious name of Jesus Christ, your Savior, and says it in such a way that they're trying to say some word like an expletive, like a curse? Boy, it does me too. Why? Because His name's not a name to be bantered around and cursed like that. His name is a precious name. He is a precious stone. In the New Testament, Peter writes about the Lord Jesus Christ, and here's what he says. To whom, speaking of us, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, where we're reading. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. In Isaiah he said he shall not make haste. Here he said he shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were also appointed. I'm not ashamed to stand here this morning and tell you, I love that man. He's the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. And when I met him, I met somebody. People say, boy, have you ever met, fill in the name of a president. Boy, have you ever met, fill in the name of a vice president. Boy, have you ever met, fill the great movie star. You ever met? Fill in the name of the great musician. Have you ever met? Fill in the name of the great sports star. I'm not impressed. Why? They're just men. They're just women. They come and go like we do. They have to brush their teeth just like you do. They have to put on body deodorant just like you do, and I hope you did. There's nothing to all that. God gave them a little bit of talent. Instead of using it for God, they used it for themselves. And if their lives are not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, they're nothing. But boy, when you meet Jesus Christ, now you've met somebody. People run around all the time and said, I met somebody really famous. We can run around. We get to do that, don't we? Man, I met somebody famous. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the precious stone. You know, there's a song. The Bible says, I get them confused sometimes. Well, there's a lot of Bible in those hymn books. You ever notice that? So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To Him in my weakness for strength I can cling. For He is so precious to me. Oh, He's precious. Precious. He's a foundation stone. Nothing so pretty about that. You don't need it to be pretty, just so long as it's strong. He's a tried stone, and He was found worthy and not guilty. And He's a precious stone. Let me tell you something. You have Him. You have all you need in life. He said, be content with such things as you have, for I said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm telling you, I am so glad He's mine and I'm His. A precious stone. But you know what? The Bible also goes on to say He is a cornerstone. Look here. A foundation, a stone, a tri-stone, a precious stone. A cornerstone, a precious cornerstone. You see that? A sure foundation. A cornerstone. Now, you know, whenever you go to a building, a lot of times the masons will come and they'll have a little stone in there. And they call that the cornerstone and they put their information all over the thing, right? But when you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible talks about Him being a chief cornerstone, like a principal stone, like a capstone. And I don't want to digress in this message to go through and talk about the construction of buildings and things like that. But you know something? There is a cornerstone in a building that becomes the principal stone depending on which building it is. For instance, when you build a pyramid and you have a base like this and you come up, the last stone that goes on top of that is a cornerstone. But it's also the chief stone. It's the capstone. It's the top. It's the head of the corner. Do you see it? And so when Jesus Christ here is described as the cornerstone, in other places he's described as the head of the corner or the chief cornerstone. There were three guys that got in an argument one day about whether God was white or God was black or God was an Indian or whatever. You know, those three guys were talking like that. And the white guy gave his reason, the black guy gave his reason, and the Indian said, no, he's an Indian. They said, how do you know that? He said, because he's chief cornerstone. And he is the chief cornerstone. I don't know if he was Indian or not, but can you get to Daniel chapter 2 from where you are? Would you go over there with me? We're going to look at a couple of passages of Scripture, and then we'll be wrapping this up. Go over to Daniel. So you're in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, very small book, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has had a dream. Nobody can interpret it. Daniel, this book is called Daniel, the prophet. Daniel finds out about it. He and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego pray, and God gives him the dream, and God gives him the interpretation of the dream. And so he tells Nebuchadnezzar what's going on. Verse 28, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel says, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And then he goes through and describes the vision like a statue of a man. He describes King Nebuchadnezzar. And he, in verse 31, this great image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold. That's you, Nebuchadnezzar. His arms of silver, his breast and arms of silver, and that would be the Medes and the Persians. His belly and thighs of brass, Alexander the Great. His legs of iron, his feet part of iron, part of clay, the Roman Empire and the coming Antichrist. But watch it. As great as this image was, verse 34, thou sawest, tell, what are the next two words? A stone. Say them with me. A stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were iron and clay and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And what are the next two words? The stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that, what are the next two words? The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof. What's the next word? Sure. A sure foundation. May I tell you something? Jesus Christ is that stone. Man, we've had great kings and great kingdoms. I'm not saying that they were good because they were great. I'm saying they were great. Pharaoh and the Egyptians, worldwide rulers. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians and Chaldeans, worldwide rulers. The Medes and the Persians, Alexander the Great, Rome, and the great empire they built, and all the other ones like that. When Jesus Christ comes, the stone made without hands, he smashes all of that to pieces, and what stands when it's done is a growing mountain, the kingdom of Jesus Christ on earth. Oh, I cannot wait. When I teach about these things, I read about these things, preach about these things, what I want is I want it to start. Yeah. I want to see what this world looks like with the ruler who made it and knows how it's supposed to run. Boy, is that going to be good when He comes. When He was here the first time and the Pharisees saw Him, He began to give them a parable that came out of the Psalms that He says, and He said this, He said, the builders, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Those Pharisees could have accepted Jesus Christ as their Messiah and that kingdom would have started building, but they rejected Him and God said, you're not the builders anyway. He takes that stone and He puts it back in place when Jesus Christ comes back and He builds that thing just like He wants it to. And our headstone is Jesus Christ, our chief cornerstone. Turn with me to the book of Acts. You're in Daniel. Go back to the New Testament. You've got to go through the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And you get to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. This passage of Scripture here, Peter and John have done a great miracle. A man is standing that never walked. And they're being called on the carpet for this problem. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, this is what Peter says. Be it known unto you all, I like this book. It speaks like I speak. Be it known to y'all, not you guys, you all. I like this book. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him to this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now I'm telling you, I have been encouraged today as a saved man by how strong the foundation is, how precious the stone is, how tried and true He is. But if you're here today without your headstone, if you're here today and you have rejected Jesus Christ up until now, you need to change things today. Because neither is there any other. See what He says here? Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You say, well, what about whatever kind of New Age philosophy you want to come up with or whatever kind of old tradition you want to come up with? You get salvation in a man named Jesus Christ. And when He becomes your head, you see, then you have the right relationship with God Almighty. And without Him, you're not going to make it. Let me show you one other passage of Scripture and we're going to end over here. You're in Acts, go to the next book, which is Romans. Romans chapter 10. And you're going to find the passage we have been preaching quoted again in the New Testament. Romans chapter 10. We're going to begin reading with verse 9, but I quoted from Isaiah 28 when we read 1 Peter chapter 2. We didn't read it together. I read it for you. We read it in Isaiah 28. We're going to read it again here in Romans chapter 10. Begin with verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. He's quoting that from Isaiah 28. Verse 16. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call on Him, or call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see that? Now three times in there He says that whosoever believeth in Him, He said, shall not make haste. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not be confounded. That's Isaiah, Romans, and 1 Peter chapter 2. When he quotes it accurately, but he quotes it three different ways. He says, in one case, he shall not make haste. Do you know what it's going to be like? If you walk out of here with Jesus Christ today and you encounter something in your life just a moment from now without Christ, you're going to be scrambling around at the last trying to find some way to get into a right reconciled relationship with God Almighty. And he says, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't make haste. You've never been perhaps by the side of a person who's dying without Jesus Christ. I have. When they're there and they have no confidence and no faith in Christ, it is the most critical time of their life. And when they leave this earth without Jesus Christ, they go immediately into the fires of hell. There's no intermediate place. Luke 16 shows us that. You listen, don't procrastinate and wait to the last minute and think by making haste you can get through this. How do you know you're going to have time to even make a decision? He says, whosoever believeth in him, the Bible goes on to say, shall not be ashamed, like he says here in Romans chapter 10. You know why they would be ashamed? Because they put their faith in something bad. They were put their faith in something wrong. They counted on the wrong thing. I am thankful today I am not standing here before you counting on a religion to get me to heaven. He said, whosoever believeth in him shall not be confounded. You know what it is to be confounded? It's to be defeated. It's to be destroyed. It is to be damned. You know why God said it three ways? He wanted to cover every possible scenario you would face without Christ. Shame, confounded, and afraid and hasty at the end. Do you know you can settle all that right now? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's another whosoever. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What are you going to put your faith in? I know what I put my faith in. The sure foundation of Jesus Christ. A foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, my chief cornerstone. If he's an Indian, then so am I. He's the chief, and I'm the follower. For those of us who have it today, listen. You don't have to worry about being shaken up by this old world. They're trying to scare you with news. They have nothing on you. You got Jesus. Here today without Christ, you can settle it now. Once and for all, put your faith in Christ and know like I do that the day your time comes to leave this earth, you're going to be with God Almighty in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today for this great testimony from Isaiah chapter 28 about our sure foundation of Jesus Christ. Everything in this world is shaken up now. Just watch the news. They're concerned about the economy. They're concerned about the weather. They're concerned about the international relations. They're concerned about war. They're concerned about earthquakes. They're concerned about famines. They're concerned about diseases. They're concerned about healthcare. All these things are shaky. You're not. And I'm so thankful that you're not. Now, Father, I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to reinforce the fact that built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we can weather, even if we were to have to, the overcoming scourge. I thank you because of the rapture. We won't be here for that, Father, but I'm thankful that our foundation could stand it. Let us not be shaken in our faith by wicked men who have no confidence in anything higher than themselves. Now your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Very simple question. You know where we are in the service today? You're here today and you know you've got your faith in Jesus Christ. Simply slip your hand up and put it right back down. Say, I am on the sure foundation of Jesus Christ. Put it back down. You're here today and you couldn't raise your hand because you don't know where you are. Then you don't have faith in Jesus Christ that's strong enough to take you to heaven when you die and get you through the storms of life as you live. You need Him. Is there anybody here today, right now, raise your hand and say, Pastor Welder, pray for me. I'm not saved. Do you have the courage to do that? I will. I pray for you. I'm not going to go point you out. I'm not going to run to you. I'm just going to pray for you. Anybody right now, raise your hand and say, Pastor Welder, pray for me. I'm not saved. And I know it. Anybody? Father, you know the hearts of men. I'm not seeing any hands raised. All that means is that if there's somebody here without Christ, they didn't want me to pray for them. Father, if there's somebody here today without Jesus Christ in their foundation, may your Holy Spirit continue to remind them the things they've heard in this scripture, that they will not trust anyone but you. And I ask you to do it for them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.